from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So today's numbers, it's a bit like Sesame Street for all those listeners that remember that. If not, just YouTube it. Our numbers, this episode is brought to you by the number 6 and the number 13. Now, if you're wondering what on earth I'm talking about, we are talking about a bit of research, and the research report is Taking Responsibility, Why UK PLC Needs Better Managers. It's by the Chartered Management Institute. They have surveyed a lot of people, 2,500 managers, 2,000 employees with no management experience, and just over 1,000 accredited managers with the Chartered Management Institute. So it's quite a big bit of research. And we're going to look at page 6 first, which, because this is audio, you have no idea what we're looking at. It's the key insights page. And Nigel, I'll let you, I'll give you a stat first, right? So I'm not joking here. It's a big bit of research, and it's managers. And that is a key stakeholder group for learning and development, as we all know. And so we've got a lot of insight about the state of managers and what needs to happen to sort of support them better, and where it's all going right and all going wrong. So one stat, 82% of managers who enter management positions have not had any formal management leadership training. They are accidental managers. And that kind of sets the tone of the report, really. So Nigel, come on, let's give us your thoughts on what you've seen.
The first thought is that YouGov did a lot of the work for them. They did all the number crunching, so we ought to give a shout out to YouGov. Well, there are three things that really struck me about this. One is that they overlay leadership and management as if they're the same thing. And it's the CMI, so maybe they feel they have to do that. But to me, there is a massive difference between a manager who works in the organization and makes processes more effective and does a good job helping the organization run the status quo, and leadership, which is working on the organization. And that's all about improving the organization, having big thoughts, working through change and development, and not just on making existing processes better. It may be revolutionizing those processes. So the fact that the report ab initio confuses those two things is, I would say, slightly disappointing, but maybe there is a trend to use those two terms interchangeably. I think they're very different. That's my view. But what is quite astonishing is the huge difference that just basic management makes. So if 82% of managers are accidental managers, essentially that means they really don't know what they're doing. Or if they know what they're doing, it's because they watch someone down the street doing it, whether that's good or bad. So that when you have no development for managers, you simply reinforce all of the existing bad practices as well as some of the existing good practices. And to me, that is pretty deadly. And it also makes it very difficult to change anything, because everyone is in the same boat. I watched that generation, now I'm doing it, and now my junior staff are imitating me, ready to take over. You end up with this continuity of incompetence, essentially. One of the things that leadership development and management development do is break into that vicious circle, and therefore get people to think differently about their role, whether that's to help them work on making the processes more effective or help them work on the organization and make the organization better. Second really interesting point, workers who rate their managers as ineffective are significantly more likely to be planning to leave their organization. And that is a truism. If you ask someone while they want to leave the organization, they'll give you every excuse under the book Whereas in 80% of cases, the answer is because I've got a crap manager and I don't want to continue working with that person. And we've known that for probably decades, that bad management, poor leadership leads to the exodus of the best, the people who are not willing to put up with that kind of nonsense. So ineffective managers have a deep impact on the culture of the organization, the motivation, satisfaction, and willingness to do a good job. So we're not even talking about doing an excellent job. We're talking about just sticking around to do a good job, which is pretty unambitious, I think. So the CMI essentially using their insights to say, let's do the CMI program and we can help managers get better at their job. I think there are lots of options, including CMI. And in some ways, getting people to reflect a little bit on their role as a manager is better than not reflecting on their role as a manager, regardless. And in my experience and in my research, if you can get managers to come together and reflect on their practice inside one organization, in other words, in context, you'll end up with better results than an external agent coming in and saying, you do it like this, because it may work or it may not work in context. So the key insights are interesting, but not astonishing. And in some ways, slightly unambitious and slightly disappointing. Now we get to the second page, page 13. Tell us about page 13, Martin.
Well, page 13, lucky for us, it's, I think this is quite an interesting page, because on it there's a table that is entitled Effective Managers Spread Positivity Across Organizations. Basically, they are comparing workers with an ineffective manager to workers with an effective manager. And there are some quite large differences here, which I think go to the heart of things like, I don't know what you think, Nigel, but lots of talk about learning culture, for example. And, you know, I think the idea of just a decent working culture is where you start, surely. Now, here, you have those with an ineffective manager, 22% agree that the organization has a good company culture, 22% versus 67% of those who have a good manager. And these are kind of the order of differences for quite a few factors. I feel valued and appreciated, 15% with a bad manager, 72% with a good. I feel motivated to do a good job, 34% with an ineffective manager, 77% with an effective manager. I find my work meaningful, 47% ineffective, 74% effective. So this table seems to kind of lay bare the impact of a good manager, and it can be a really positive one on working life for individuals in their team, and the fact that actually ineffective ones are having a hugely negative impact on team members. Yeah.
It's also true that if you have a poor manager, you are 25% are happy with their compensation, 75% are unhappy with their compensation and benefits, as against 57% with an effective manager. Now, that's got virtually nothing to do with the manager. So the impact of an ineffective manager mm-hmm. has a massive impact on your attitude, the lens through which you see your job, your yeah. role, your organization, your work, your job satisfaction, etc., etc. So basically, an ineffective manager puts on you a pair of very misty, very distorted, very unclear glasses, and an effective manager puts on a pair of glasses that actually help you see what you're supposed to be doing. And that is the most astonishing fact, that the cloudy nature of reality through the lens of an effective manager and a bit more clarity with an effective manager. Now, it seems obvious from these kinds of statistics that if you invest in developing your managers, then you'll get your money back. you don't know, it wouldn't take much. Only a few percentage points will pay back your investment, and yet you've got the dream being held out to you of tens of percentage points benefit. So I would recommend my organization as a good place to work. 21% with an effective manager, 68% with an ineffective manager. Now, sorry, with an effective manager, 21% with an ineffective manager. Now, that if you recommend your organization as a good place to work, the people who you recommend and come into the organization are very unlikely to have that manager. But their whole value system and perspective is mediated by that ineffective manager, and vice versa. If you've got a good manager, yeah, come in, it's a great place to work, I love it. That person will not get the effective manager necessarily, but they still have that positive attitude to the point where they recommend the organization. That's a, you know, that's very strong. If you're prepared to recommend an organization to your friend, that's high recommendation. You know, very few people recommend a lousy place to work just to get the revenge on their friends. Most people do it and want it to be a really good decision. So there is an agenda running, I think. And they've got some great examples of rubbish, essentially rubbish managers, who either should be given instant help or should be escorted gently out of the organization. So makes a big, big difference, Martin.
Yeah.
And so, they say better managed Britain, a vision for the future. Better managed Britain. I would like better led Britain, a vision for the future. Better transformed Britain. Better big vision Britain. Not better managed Britain. It's a kind of dull, uninspiring, unambitious plan for the country. But that may be just me, Martin.
I've got one final question, because it's a slight... I look at all that the stuff around learning culture, and I look at this kind of chart, and this chart seems to be talking expressly to the work culture, right? And I can't see how you can have a learning culture when people feel this way about their work, if they're working for bad managers. So am I right in thinking, in order to get your head round developing a learning culture, you need to understand all the drivers that make people unhappy at work, as 100%. Well as the ones that make them happy at work? And that is the work for learning people, isn't it? It's 100%. Not just focusing on doing more,
give them some more
resources
courses
and stuff. Exactly. It's not that. It's all getting our staff, into this.
Absolutely. All our staff have a learning agenda, which we give them at the beginning of the year. That's a learning culture. No, it's not. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that anyone does it or looks at it. Now, there was a very good example of Slack, who, because their staff hadn't done their required requisite 8 hours learning, they shut the place down for a week so they could do their 8 hours, bring themselves up to scratch. To me, that is not an example of a great company that looks after learning. I will want to know, what is it about the learning that is so uninspiring that most staff can't be bothered? That is the key. And in a learning culture, managers are right up there reinforcing the message. Trust is key. Empowerment is key.
Yeah.
Motivation is key. All of the conditions have to be right before you get a learning culture. And what this, I think, beautifully illustrates, this report, is that we're a long way from that. And therefore, we're a long way from implementing learning cultures. Mm-hmm. Martin, I think we're making some very valuable points. I don't know whether you agree.
Well, I would agree. It's our podcast, and I think what we're doing is valuable. So there you go. I hope our listeners think it might be valuable to some degree. Anyway, that was a good conversation. I enjoyed that. So we'll send the link. It's free to download. So please do go and look at that research in your leisure. And until next time, Nigel, thanks very much.
It's a pleasure, Martin, as always. From scratch.